face to face, out in the heat, live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron, trying to push the buttons.
How are we doing?
I don't think they heard the intro.
I heard part of that they did not hear. I quoted a Survivor song. We did Eye of the Tiger. No, man, nice to see you.
You as well.
Are we on?
I think so.
Wait, are we live?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I believe you. I trust you. You're very good at this.
Well, not very good. I just okay.
Comparatively, yeah. You're very, very good at this. Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah.
Yes. Pretty light.
Well, once the USA got knocked out, I'm sure it's...
Well, I mean, quite honestly, even if they would have won against Belgium on Monday evening, which they did not, they got throttled pretty well, pretty early, pretty often by a more talented, better coached, more organized team that seemed to know the moment. They seemed sure. The Belgian team had has great players, has talented players, as many as the U.S. does.
Is it pretty much any of the teams out there that are still in it better than us?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
I was just seeing stat that our highest paid player.
Yes.
Doesn't even come close.
No, it's comparatively.
But pay is concentrate to the talent, though, right?
Very much so. Soccer has a very good system by which talent is paid. Yeah, there's a really...
I mean, in all sports it is, but...
But in a lot of... Like, in Major League Baseball, you are locked into a contract that can turn into a bad contract very, very quickly.
Sure.
For the team, right? Like,
right.
You can... These large 10-year deals don't frequently work out. Football is kind of similar. Basketball is actually the worst because they're guaranteed contracts. In soccer... The free agency system, it's a transfer system. So the teams are paying the players every year. You can make a player an offer to transfer, the team an offer that the player has to okay every year. So, and to pay him equivalent, and player can turn it down or accept it. So no, that's actually a really good way to compare talent. The highest paid players in the world, Kylian Mbappe, Erik Haaland, probably Leo Messi used to be, but he now plays over FC Miami in the Major League Soccer. He's not amongst the greatest in the world, but no, the great players on Spain, the best players on England are getting paid $60, $70, $80, $100 million plus a year. The U.S. has nobody near that. Christian Pulisic, I believe, is the highest paid player, and he's not amongst the top 50 probably highest paid players in the world.
So what does the USA have to do to get there? I mean, because I was listening to, obviously, sports radio.
Yeah.
And I was actually paying attention when they were talking about, it was like Tuesday.
Sure,
yeah. They were talking after the loss, and people are like, well, what does the USA have to do in order to get to that level? Because they've always gotten to the round of 16,
mm-hmm.
and that's it, for the most part.
Sure.
You know? What do we got to do? I mean, because our one scoring guy, what's his name, that got... Kicked out
Folder and Balogun.
Yeah, but he's a French. He's originally from France, I believe.
That's correct. Yes,
and he just moved.
Yeah, no, he had the opportunity to play for, I believe it was three different national teams when he started his soccer playing for national teams career. Yeah, absolutely.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Those can we find? I mean,
well, there's a few ways to look at it. Not the rest of these
teams. I want you to answer it for the whole league and figure out their stuff.
Okay, I will.
That's what I want you to do.
I will become the commissioner of soccer, of United States soccer. Yeah. I will be the soccer director for the United States. There has to be an acceptance that you are not ever going to be Argentina, France, England, or Spain, Germany, Italy. There are 300 nations in the world that play soccer for FIFA. To be amongst the best 12 to 15 teams in the world is an accomplishment, considering there's 285 other teams that would like to be in the position where the U.S. is, where they are consistently amongst the best. They're invited to the most prestigious tournament in the world. They earn their way through it. So that there is part of the acceptance of we aren't going to be those teams. You can beat those teams on occasion. We're not Brazil. We're not consistently producing soccer players the way that Brazil, Spain, Argentina.
Right, but that's what my question is. How do we produce those soccer players?
Well, you really have to incentivize it at a local level. If you are it has to start on the, like, you know, we'll say in the example of the town that we're around, the area of Viroqua.
Sure.
If right now, if there's a kid who plays some soccer and he looks like he's got some sport ability, the best way to make him a better soccer player is take away his baseball glove. You know, like keep making them kick a soccer ball, keep soccer in their lives. Because in a lot of these other places, soccer is the option. Soccer and baseball in a lot of Latin American countries are the two sports that you are given,
tennis.
Right? Tennis perhaps too.
Yeah.
But around here, in our area of the country, we have so many options.
Sure.
If you're a good athlete as a kid, you could wrestle. You could wrestle and play baseball. You could wrestle, baseball, soccer, football, lift weights, do a dance. You could do all the sports, which is great for making well-rounded kids who love, competing and being with their friends and having coaches and having the experience of playing sports, which is incredibly important, right? But it doesn't produce the best soccer players in the world.
Is it money? Money and marketing?
Marketing, sure. Yes. If I've said this before, if the best athletes in our country happen to be a soccer player, we've tried in this country to market soccer. Freddie Adu was a guy about 15 years ago now. He's a 14-year-old on the cover of Sports Illustrated, was the great American hope for soccer. He was signed professionally as a 14-year-old playing overseas. He was going to be that guy. Did not become that guy, did not have success. Landon Donovan was supposed to be that guy. Christian Pulisic was supposed to be that guy. You name a guy, Brian McBride was supposed to be that guy. Eric Winalda was supposed to be that guy. We've tried really, really hard to put a soccer player out there and say, this is the best.
Sure.
But until we have LeBron James, like I said, if LeBron James or Justin Jefferson, if Justin Jefferson at 6'4", 214 pounds, would have played soccer as a high school, as a middle schooler, because I bet he would have been pretty remarkable at it wherever part of the country he grew up. But he was handed a football, and he became amazing at it. But he would be the most talented soccer player that the U.S. has ever seen. With his size and speed and strength, LeBron James would. There are 6'7" soccer players out there that play internationally.
Sure.
They're very, very rare. LeBron James would dominate the sport, and he would be Pele. For people who are of a certain generation, that he would be that great. So the answer is it would take that. It takes that as a.
But you can't. Right now, the NFL dominates the U.S.
Yes.
Everywhere. They're on every streaming, everything, you know, and as kids are growing up, I remember my kids, you know, one of them was into sports. Played football and no inclination to do anything else. It would have been cheaper for him to go to soccer.
Sure would have. Yes.
You
yes,
know?
Yes.
But we grew up in lacrosse, so...
You grew up and you could have, if you would have handed him a soccer ball when you realized he was a pretty good athlete, he would have been able to probably have an opportunity to play college soccer somewhere before college football. College soccer, it's because soccer is a niche sport. Nope, the opportunity to play soccer after high school is more prevalent. The U.S. has a lot of talent in the niche sports, and unfortunately, soccer will stay a niche sport because we only really think about it every 4 years, like swimming. Gymnastics, ice skating, things like that. Soccer does tend to stay in that sort of spot for the U.S. So, and if you get a chance to, if you do wonder how far the U.S. would have to go, watch some of these games between Argentina and Switzerland and Norway and England. Watch the crowd. See the talent that's on the field. You'll see that if you watch any of the U.S., there's a gap there.
Yeah.
I was watching the U.S. against Belgium, and they had a tendency to make really good runs with really incredibly great athleticism and strength, but their first touch, if you know anything about soccer.
No.
Okay, first touch there is the ball's coming, the ball gets crossed to you. What happens when the ball touches your foot the first time makes more of a difference for the rest of what's going to happen next than anything sure. else. If you get it close enough to your feet to make a great secondary move, you're going to beat the defender. If you can get a shot off with that first touch accurately, you have a great chance to beat the goalie.
Okay.
What you can't do is kind of trip over the ball and sort of hesitate and not be sure what you're going to do next. I saw a lot of that with the U.S. team. Is they had the goalie did the same thing. The goalie came out 40 yards past his goal spot in a spot where he should not have been. A great goalie, the top-notch goalies boot that ball as soon they know they're running out there to boot the ball. The U.S. goalie came out there, hesitated, kind of half missed the ball, got the ball stolen from him. It was an automatic goal, game over. It was that type of stuff. That's what the great teams in this sport don't sure. do. It's a very much a natural, everything looks a little more natural.
Sure.
So there's to get there. They got to spend the next 4 years. The players you see on the field for the U.S. national team this time around will be that same team 4 years from now. They're all pretty young. You will see guys even more so in their prime as 30-year-olds ready to. So 4 years from now, I would expect that they are at least this top eight team.
Sure.
That's where I would. No. The natural progression should get there because they have. It's kind of like when you go to, if you went to a small high school. Every couple of years, your sports team becomes great because you're all seniors.
Sure.
All of a sudden, you're seniors and the rest of the conference has a bunch of sophomores. So you're going to be good that year. That's kind of where the U.S. sits 4 years from now.
Okay.
They've got some issues to solve, but their coach looked solid. The talent will continue.
They're a highly paid coach, too.
Highly paid coach, which is a thing you have to do.
Sure.
You can't get by in international soccer with a unproven coach. High school coach? You can't. You got to have a high level coach to be able to compete with high level players from these other teams. You absolutely do.
Okay.
So the World Cup, you'll get the semis.
Where is it next year? Or next in the 4 years?
4 years? No idea.
I'll find out.
But, you know, I'm sure the planning and the development for it, they were able to put together the World Cup fairly simple in the three countries in North America because it has a lot of structure there. But when these World Cups get hosted in other parts of the world, they got to build...
Morocco.
I was just going to say Monaco. Okay, Morocco. Really? Okay. That's not that big of a country. I'll be interested to see how they put that together. It's, like I said, it's a huge, huge effort to build the infrastructure for these tournaments. So, okay, we're going to Morocco. Fantastic. The rest of sport things. The Brewers are... What's the All-Star break, give or take? I think there's two, maybe three more games in the first half of the Major League Baseball season before we get into the All-Star game festivities. The trade deadline's coming about 2-3 weeks from now. The Brewers are still on pace to win 100 games. They haven't done anything in the last week to dissuade me from believing that they
will. So you still have hope?
More than hope. Oh, yeah. No,
you're optimist.
It's strange to keep hearing the Brewers on national radio and television broadcasts. I saw them on actual TV the other day
sure.
on a live ESPN broadcast.
Wow.
I saw the Brewers playing baseball. You get to see it once a year. It just doesn't happen very, very often. I bemoan that all the time, how hard it is to be a fan of sport
sure.
when you can't watch your team play. But the Brewers just keep on keeping on with young talent, with great trades, with, you know, everything the Brewers seem to be doing seems to be working positively for them. They're still... five, six games up on the Cardinals and the Cubs, I believe.
Seven on the Cubs.
Yeah, they played five against the Cardinals
yep.
this week, including a doubleheader, and they won 4 out of 5. That's the kind of stuff that makes you feel so good as a Brewers fan.
They're only 2 games behind the Dodgers in overall.
Yep. I mean, and that kind of stuff makes a difference as the 2 seed in the playoffs, which the Brewers are looking at. If they stay on this pace, they're looking at being the number 2 seed, means you don't have to play a wild card series, which has been the Brewers' downfall for a long time was making the wild card, ending up in a three-game series, a one-game or a three-game series where big home run bats beat your pitching staff and your season is over before it even starts. So locking in that number two seed or getting the number one seed should be the goal of the Milwaukee Brewers for the rest of the season, because winning the division seems like a given. Making the playoffs is obvious. Winning a series feels like you should do that. When you go against the number two, you're getting a bye. You're getting a break for a week, basically, to get your pitching staff in order, to get your health in order, to get your all the little, you know, shake the rust off or whatever, get in the mindset of the playoffs. And that number one with Jacob Mizorowski, hard to argue that he's not the biggest story in baseball. If you take a step back from just, if I'm a baseball fan, not just a Brewers fan, he is putting up numbers that haven't been seen in a very long time with strikeout rates and speed on pitches. And
so I saw a video comparison from him last year to this year.
Yes.
He's pitching differently.
Correct.
I mean, like, more efficiently, I think it must be, because obviously here's the results.
Well, we talked about Jacob Mizorowski was a second-round pick out of junior college 4 years ago, which means he was a, 5 years ago, he was a high school kid. He was not a starting pitcher coming out of high school. He wasn't a starting pitcher coming out of junior college. The Brewers saw something in him and said, we're bringing him to the lab, and we're going to make him the greatest pitcher, the most dominant-looking pitcher we've seen since Randy Johnson.
Sure.
For anybody my age and older, Randy Johnson dominated people as a 6'10" lefty that could throw 100 miles an hour and had a splitter that dropped. It was intimidating. Left-handed hitters couldn't face Randy Johnson.
Also, Randy Johnson could kill birds.
He smashed a bird in, yes, that same Randy Johnson. Anybody who's seen that, yes, that guy, dangerous. But the Brewers saw that in Jacob Mizorowski. They brought him to the lab. Their pitching lab is like Frankenstein's lab. They take their rookies, their developed guys, they take them down to the Arizona League complex. They hook them up with some diodes and some, they do whatever, but they're watching velocity. They're looking at arm angles.
Sure.
Very computery. Super computery. They're using, I assume, some kind of AI. They're using lots of diodes. But then it becomes, can the pitcher make the adjustments? Because they will show the math that says you need your arm at this angle, 42 degrees, not 45 degrees. You need to start your hips here.
Right.
But it's these little movements. If anybody's taken a golf swing, that it's sort of that same thing. Is if it they will tell you the golf instructor will tell you, you gotta move your wrist. You gotta follow through. You gotta do this. But it falls on the player then to have that information, and the coaches too with the Brewers, make these adjustments. And they've done it with, Trevor McGill, Abner Uribe, Logan Henderson,
pretty much every pitcher ever.
Every pitcher over the last 5 years that has been successful for the Brewers, Brandon Woodruff before the injuries, Freddie Peralta, it was getting the most out of every pitcher that you can seems to be the motto, seems to be the moniker, it seems to be the what they're hanging their helmet on for the Brewers, and it has made a difference. It's getting the best out of your pitchers over and over.
But he showed, Mizorowski showed some promise toward the end of last season, didn't he?
Last year, he made the All-Star break
after
six starts. There were three dominant starts, one not great start, and two pretty good starts. He made the All-Star team. Then he kind of tailed off a little bit, and then he got hot towards the end. But he came into the year as, he's going to be, this is our guy. He did not come in looking like a Cy Young winner. He's never pitched 200 innings. He's never pitched 150 innings.
Right.
When he hits 100, last year, I don't even think he hit 100 innings last year. It's putting a lot on the arm. It's making sure as a pitching staff that you can see, it's great as it is to watch him throw nearly 106 miles an hour at 6'7". it'd be impossible to hit it. I don't know how even the greatest hitters in the world have a chance to get there. But as much as those highlights are great, what I want to see is him winning Game 6 of the World Series.
Sure.
I want to see that. That's what the goal at this point really should be. They've proven themselves to be better than the competition. They've proven themselves in their division. It's beating the Dodgers in a series. Or if somebody can beat the Dodgers for us, that would be fine too. Yeah. But it's getting to the NLCS with an opportunity to get to a World Series. If you are the Brewers, if you are a Brewers fan, they've made the playoffs 8 out of 9 years. This is that time. They've got Cooper Pratt, Luis Lora, Logan Henderson, guys under 24, highly touted prospects who seem to be figuring it out at the major league level. You've got, you know, Bryce Terang is, again, best second baseman in baseball, probably should make the All-Star team. Willem Contreras might be the best catcher in baseball. That doesn't happen. If you're the Milwaukee Brewers, the last time they had that amount of talent on the field was the Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder era, Giovanni Gallardo. You know, we're talking about talent like that. Paul Molitor and Robin Young. We're talking about real deal, high-end talent. Now, they should be aiming for finishing this, again, like I said, in the World Series, beating the Dodgers at this point. The Dodgers are playing a sort of a different game than the rest of baseball.
Yeah, they call the money game.
They're playing the money game. Hey, they're winning the best way they can too.
Sure.
If there's a guy to be traded for, the Dodgers can afford to trade their best prospects. The Brewers have, once again, the best minor league department in baseball. Difference between them and the Dodgers, the Brewers are penciling in guys like Jesus Made, Luis Peña, to be started, the guys who are playing in the All-Star minor league system.
Sure.
They're expecting to be starters for the Brewers in 2 years. You're penciling it in. You're doing the economics of your team around having young, controllable, All-Star talent. The Dodgers don't care about that. They will gladly trade their best prospects every single year to get the best players. That's how you end up with Shohei Ohtani. That's how you end up with Freddie Freeman. That's how you end up with All-star after all-star, Kyle Tucker. You just end up with all-star after all-star because you can pay them. You don't have to wait for a prospect to become great like Jackson Churio. Like, you don't have to. You just, Jacob Mizorowski, you just wait till you pay him. You just pay an extra $10 million, whatever. And you're competing against that type of system. Where if you're the Brewers, you'd love to make a trade. I've heard that they're going to trade for a starter. They're going to trade for a bat. They're going to get rid of anybody in their system to get a Tarik Skubal, who is the hot prospect on the pitching market. But I don't believe that the Brewers pull the trigger. That's not their style. They've got so much talent in the minors where as good as this team is today, 3 years from now, they should win 120 games. They should be as dominant as any team. Like, they should, if they do not make these trades and these players work out. I don't believe that the Brewers make this giant trade. If they do, they leap up and become the best team in baseball. Mm. They're at that place because they have scored second most runs. They've got the best fielding percentage, on-base percentage. They're not hitting home runs, but they are winning games consistently over and over and over and over again.
Okay.
So that's – keep going, Brewers. Just keep doing that, you know?
Like, you're going to see them this year?
I am going to get down there at some point. Yeah, sure. I have to figure out what bobblehead day, something like that. Yeah. Now that's about really it for baseball. The other stories, you know, I don't know enough about the Marlins and White Sox to talk about their playoff aspirations. Shohei Ohtani is still looking like he's an MVP type of guy, but it's, again, you got about 4 months left of baseball. So pace ourselves from here to October.
Okay.
Have we talked about the NBA in a while?
We haven't, because we talked about Giannis last week.
Okay, Giannis last week. This week, we're going to talk about another salty superstar making problems for their team.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard.
Well, for their future team.
For
their past future team.
Any team that comes in contact with Kawhi Leonard between now and the next couple of years is going to be facing a problem. Kawhi Leonard and his owner, his former owner of the team, the Clippers, Steve Ballmer, who happens to be one of the richest people in the universe, struck up a deal. The Clippers started a company called Aspirations Media Marketing, some kind of shell company to market Kawhi Leonard. They paid him upwards of $30 million. Kawhi Leonard took that money and said, thank you very much. I will not be showing up to that job. And there was no promotional work done. There was no extra job given to Kawhi Leonard other than to cash that check. So he did. And it was done under the premise of, hey, when you become a free agent in 2 years, you're going to re-sign with us, but for like little less than market rate, and you're going to get your money up front. Kawhi said, great, let's play ball. That it seemed like such a perfect scam that I'm stunned that more teams don't do it.
No, more teams have gotten this. They got caught.
And that tells me that they were too organized, too professional, and got caught, because it's basically the scam that college football was pulling 40 years ago. Like SMU.
Just not at $30 million level.
Right. It was a handful of, it was 10 grand. It was a car to show up to this job that didn't exist, maybe to sign an autograph, whatever it was. And there were money under the table. The Clippers are billions of dollars. They're a huge franchise in a giant league under a microscope. Got caught. Pablo Torre, the reporter who found this out, won a Pulitzer for this reporting. It was done 11 months ago. Very thorough reporting that sounded clearly that everyone knew they were wrong, got caught, everyone was denying, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
Fast forward to 11 months from now, the Clippers would like to trade Kawhi Leonard. The Raptors would like to trade for Kawhi Leonard.
And get him back.
And they had him originally, won a title.
Yep.
They would now like to, for the second time, trade him, trade away assets, be in the Kawhi Leonard game. Kawhi Leonard is a 35-year-old superstar, one of the highest paid players in the league, often injured.
Yep.
One-time champion, looking to finish out his career in the place of his choosing. So Toronto. Toronto said, yeah, let's go. Trade Brandon Ingram, Grady Dick, and a couple of first-round picks to the Clippers. Clippers said, yeah, let's do it. NBA said, hold on. No. We're not wrapped up our investigation of this yet, so you guys can't make this trade, just
well,
so
we
you know.
Well, we can make it if the Toronto Raptors said, yes, we assume all responsibility and any punishment that might happen.
And
they said no.
It seems wild to me. It feels like that Max Crosby deal in the NFL, because there's no way that Toronto did not know that this investigation was going on. This was reported nationally. This wasn't whispered. They knew. They had to have known.
It kind of got put on the back burner, because initially when it came out, I remember seeing it and hearing about it, but you never heard anything else.
It does to you and me. It does to the sports fan. But if you're a GM in the NBA,
trading
for this guy, it never left your ear. You knew more about this than almost anyone could. So the fact that the NBA is trying to put brakes around it is wild to me. Why can't they? Why this didn't get wrapped up? What's the real deal? Why aren't they punishing the Clippers? It seemed very clear that they got caught doing something that they shouldn't have done. Seems like it should be.
NBA forgot about it.
The NBA was hoping you forgot about it. Like, the NBA sort of does that. The NBA, you know, has a few problems. They have a gambling problem in the NBA. They've got some discipline problems in the NBA.
To be forthright, I don't think the NBA is the only one with a gambling problem.
No, not at all. But the NBA has kind of... These happened recently.
Yeah, I mean,
when he played for the Bucks, said, "I threw a couple. I messed up on purpose a few times and cashed it in." He's going to be suspended along with one of his former buddies for a gambling thing. Yeah, the NBA were indicted. Yeah, they were indicted.
They did this thing.
And you watch highlights of him fumbling balls or intentionally dunking a ball at the end, getting a rebound that he didn't need to, and you start to think, oh, okay, that's a real thing. So, yes, the NBA is hoping you forgot, because it's the offseason, and they will continue to try to do that. The NBA Summer League is going on.
You got a minute and a half.
Nice. Way to go.
Yeah.
Good pace on this one today. Nice.
Soccer hour.
It's soccer. It's once every 4 years, the World Cup rolls around, so it's nice to get enthusiastic about.
Anything else before we wrap it up?
No, not really. Wimbledon is going on. I didn't realize Novak Djokovic is still kicking it around. He's in the semifinals of
Serena.
Wimbledon. Serena Williams is in the
singles. She got knocked out like in the first round.
But she's still in doubles.
She had to back off because of an injury.
Okay. Yeah, Serena Williams.
With her sister.
Yes,
that's still playing.
Hmm. the more you know.
Yeah.
The Tour de France is going on. I caught part of that. Don't understand it. I used to really like it. Those guys are amazing athletes. They do 100 miles a day up and down the mountains.
Yep.
I don't know much else about it.
There's a lot of stuff that's on the side that you won't know about, too.
It feels like I said, it's like pro wrestling. We were talking about this. I used to really be interested and know a lot about pro cycling just based on Lance Armstrong. Him
right.
and his journey from health and wellness to unhealth to champion is at that point an amazing story. Became less amazing as the
20 seconds.
Dang. Well, it's another wonderful weekend out in Viroqua, right? The sport of the season is get out there and enjoy some music, some fresh air. There's a great festival going on this weekend at the park. You should absolutely do that. Hey, thanks everybody. Bye.